Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Field of Vision podcast. My name is Bill Bulis, and today we are going to talk about some of the things that people should expect to see at their summer conventions. As you know, this is the time of the year where in the United States, all of the consumer groups, the two major ones, and even some other groups that are responsible for things like educating professionals and stuff like that, they're having their annual conferences or conventions, and there's a lot going on. So I'm going to kind of fill you in on some of the things that if you went to ACB in Reno, or if you're going to the NFB convention in Orlando, some of the things that you might want to take advantage of with respect to the toy box. And of course, the toy box is what a lot of us like to call the exhibit hall. And so let's talk a little bit about some of that stuff. First of all, of course, blindrehab.com is our official website. You should go there and check out some of the stuff that we've got on there. Purchase a t-shirt to help us out. Of course, we've now started and are in full swing with Facebook Live. If you're not a part of Facebook Live, we hope you'll consider becoming a part of it. And all you have to do is join us at 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, for the Field of Vision Facebook Live chat. And if you want to know more, go to blindrehab.com and click on the Facebook Live link, and you'll understand what we're doing. There's a quick description, and there's also a history of the chats that we have done. You can click and listen to any one of them or all of them absolutely free. So thank you very much, by the way, for subscribing to the podcast and for being a part of what we do. Keep in mind that you can listen to our podcast on any of your iOS, Android, any of the blindness devices, such as the Victor Reader Stream, the Braille Note, the Braille Sense U2, and you can also listen to us on Amazon Echo. Simply say, Alexa, play the Field of Vision podcast, and Alexa will play the latest episode of our podcast for you, followed by the episode before that, and the episode before that, and so on. So it goes from newest to oldest. So as we are here at NFB in Orlando this week, again, we will have some Facebook Live chats that talk about what is happening in Orlando. We'll talk about some of the day's events and some of the interesting things that are happening. You've got many, many different pieces of technology being announced and released right here at the convention. One of the things that you might want to be aware of is Freedom Scientific, or VFO, whatever name they want to be called this time, is releasing a couple of pretty interesting things. First of all, there's something that's been out for a couple of months called the L Braille, which is EL Braille. And essentially what the L Braille is, it is a computer with actual windows on it and actual JAWS. Remember back in the day when they had like Pocket Windows or Windows Mobile, Windows CE? They also had like a Pocket version of JAWS that you couldn't get to put on any other mobile device. It had to be on like a PacMate. Well, Freedom Scientific is using real JAWS, real Windows, like the full versions, and they have created a note taker style device. It's not a note taker necessarily. I mean, you know, if you use Microsoft Word, I guess it is. But it is an actual computer that you can hook on to a Braille display, or hook your Braille display onto the computer, and you have Braille access with your L Braille. Ron Miller and company at Freedom Scientific always do a really good job in building hardware. I'm very impressed with their hardware. What I will tell you is this has Braille entry, but it is a very small device for what it is, and it's modular, so you can connect your Braille display if you want to, or if you just want to take your device with you, you can do it that way as well. And because it has JAWS on there, you have speech, and it just I think it's going to work beautifully for some people. I'd like to see what they're going to do with the 2 gigs of memory that's on there. I don't know. I don't anticipate that it's going to cause a problem. I think, you know, there's so many people out there that want like the largest capacity of memory that they could possibly get. Like, you know, there's people out there that don't believe that 2 gigs is enough. You know, there's people out there that want 16 gigs and, you know, I want as much as I can get on there. If you're not a gamer, like if you're not doing a lot of video gaming type stuff, you don't need that much RAM to run Microsoft applications. You don't need that much RAM to run your screen reader and stuff. It's not, you know, like it was back in the day when memory, you know, you couldn't put a whole lot on your computer. You know, remember when we had like, you know, they would brag about your computer having 1 gig, you know, or even 2 gigs. You don't need that much. Like this software is not a memory hog like a lot of people think it is. And I think, you know, a lot of folks just aren't educated in what it takes to actually power a computer. But so, you know, and again, the only reason I'm talking about this is because one of very few criticisms of the El Braille was the 2 gigs of memory. I think it's going to do just fine. Personally, I think for some people, especially, you know, people who are good Braille users, this is going to be a great device for them. So definitely check it out if you're going to be at one of the conferences. Or if you're around the country and you're not a member of either organization, if you don't want to go to the conferences, make sure you ask your assistive technology specialist to show you an El Braille and to kind of teach you how it works. Because I think it is very important to have your hands on this type of info. I remember back in the day when I would yell and scream about these note takers, and the El Braille should have been something that came out years and years ago, but finally we're getting to a point where, you know, it's a real computer, and I'm very, very glad that Freedom Scientific is coming out with something like this, or VFO, because it's going to be hard, by the way, to make that switch to call them VFO, but I'm getting there. So the El Braille, like I said, should be a decent device for some people, and if it works for you, that's great. If it doesn't, you have the option for many other devices like that are out on the market right now. So, it's good to see them doing this, though. There are also rumors, and I didn't look at their website in the past couple of days, but there's apparently I saw it on Twitter, that they are coming out with a Focus 40 Blue Braille display that has note-taker capabilities on it. So if you've seen the HIMS, the Braille Edge, this is going to be similar as far as like what it can do, and it's basically like the new generation of Focus 40 Blue. So it's going to have some ability to do things like a notepad, and of course there's no speech when you do that, so, you know, just make sure that you know that if you're wanting to get a new Focus 40 Blue, that you'll not have speech when you're using just the notepad functionality with it. So, but it's still, I think, a nice thing to have. One of the reasons that I like the HIMS Braille display, the Braille Edge, is because you had the ability to do that and you didn't have to connect your Braille display to any other device. So when you go to Freedom Scientific's exhibit hall, or if you're around the country and you are going to have a technology evaluation, definitely ask to see these products, because they're very important. And it's very important that you have access to as many options as you can. If you can get all your options, that would be awesome. But you want to have access to as many options as you can. And Freedom Scientific is coming strong with some of these new devices. So definitely check them out. And if they work for you, try to get a hold of one, you know, and if not, you know, hopefully your assistive technology instructor or whoever's doing your evaluation will be able to give you other choices where you will find something that you can use. Another company that is coming strong in our community, they are embedding themselves in our community, and you've heard me talk about them on and off. You hear me talking about IRA all the time, And they're a company that uses smart glasses. And with those smart glasses, you are connected to an agent who will guide you as you are traveling. Or they will guide you if you're trying to see what is in your pantry. Like, is it a can of beans? Is it a can of corn? They'll help you possibly read some mail. They will help you determine what's going on with your TV, for example. Does your cable box ever shut down on you, or does it just go silent and you don't know what's happening? There's an error message on the TV and it's just annoying, and you have to like try to find somebody who can see the TV to help you with it. Wouldn't it be cool if you just hit the button on your glasses and you talk to an IRA agent and they kind of helped you through the process? That would be awesome, right? Well, IRA's gonna be here at NFB as they were at ACB. And like I said, they are embedded at this point in our community. They are working really, really hard to become part of us. They're not just trying to sell products to people. They're learning about us. They're learning about how we operate on a day-to-day basis. And they'll be here. They'll be around the country as well doing things. So again, not to fear, not to worry. If you're not coming to the conventions, it is perfectly okay. You will be able to see this stuff in your neck of the woods very, very soon. They are targeting agencies for the blind, and they put out a really good product. And it's basically a subscription-based product. You don't have to buy the smart glasses. There's nothing to purchase other than a subscription. And they give you the equipment included with your subscription. So you're not spending like $3,000 to buy a pair of glasses that has a camera in it and all the technology that comes with it. You are basically paying a subscription fee, and the equipment is included in that subscription, which is an awesome way to do business. They're a very honest company. And if you mention the Field of Vision podcast, or if you mention me, Bill Bullis, you will get a free month of service. How do you like them apples? Huh? You can't go wrong. So definitely give it a shot if you're going to be here. The American Printing House for the Blind will once again be bringing out their Orbit Reader for people to check out. It is a very low-cost Braille display. The price is like $450, which is unbelievable when it comes to Braille displays. Usually a price for a Braille display hovers around $2,700 or $2,800. In some cases, it's a little higher than that. If you look at like the Vario Ultra, which is a great Braille display, it's a good product. It works for a lot of people. It's made by Baum. And so that one is a lot more money because it has more features, and Baum stuff is very expensive usually. They're high-end devices. So. But yeah, they're coming out with some cheaper ones, and if you stop by the booth, I'm sure they'll let you see the Orbit. I don't think it's ready for sale yet. They're waiting to get stock. I think that's where they're at. They're squashing some bugs, and then they'll finally, they'll finally have stock, so they'll be able to sell it. I will take an educated guess and tell you guys that the Orbit Reader will be out probably in September. Early October at the latest. I don't know anything. I'm just taking a wild guess just based on where they are with it right now. And it's been a while. It's been delayed a couple of times, mainly because they want to get it right. So for all of you who are complaining, that's not fair. You know, you'd be complaining a lot more if it came out and you got your hands on this product and it didn't work the way that you wanted it to work. So you absolutely need to be patient, and please be respectful. I've seen a lot of people yelling about it on the internet and not being respectful. These guys are trying to do the right thing, and they want it to come out, and they want it to come out working as advertised. It would be a disaster if it came out and there were tons of bugs, and then it would be a customer service nightmare to try to fix everybody and get everyone updated, you know, getting their software done the right way. I think they're doing the right thing by waiting and holding off. So let's be cool to those guys at APH, because they're cool to us. They're cool to our community. APH has been a part of this community for years and years and years, and since I was a kid, APH has been a part of my life in some capacity, whether it was, you know, producing large print books for me, producing Braille, selling products that I use every day at work and also like during like leisure. You know, they've put out some cool stuff, and I really hope you guys will support them as best as you can for a long time. They deserve it. So another device that is eventually coming out, we're looking at a few months before this thing is ready, but it's HumanWare, pretty much combining your Victor Reader Stream and your Trekker Breeze, right? So remember the Trekker Breeze and the Trekker Breeze Plus, which was a standalone talking GPS. They are retooling all that stuff and they're putting it all into one device. I don't know the price. I haven't seen it, but I'm going to be meeting with HumanWare representatives this week, and hopefully we will have somebody on the podcast to talk to us about the device. And it should be pretty cool. I was a big fan of the Victor Reader Stream, huge fan. I liked the Breeze, the Trekker Breeze. I didn't love it, but I thought it was extremely useful. I think it's a powerful tool. It just there's a bit of a learning curve with it, and I think a lot of people with the Breeze, the people that had trouble with it, are usually the people that didn't give it a fair chance. I saw lots of people kind of give up on it, which I don't think is the way to go. It was a pretty expensive piece of equipment, and it did work once you really got the hang of how it works. And I think part of the problem is they initially released it to be a way to do like route travel, and they ended up building it into a fully functioning GPS. And when that happened, they basically shoehorned a lot of stuff in there with respect to the way that it's controlled and stuff like that. So again, I think they were trying to support us as best as they could. I don't give HumanWare any grief for doing the Trekker Breeze the way they did. I think it was necessary. They had already, you know, developed the device and put all that money into developing it. I think they didn't really have much of an option at the time, but they are now building a new device, and they've got some really good people working on it. Greg Stilson, who is a product manager there, is phenomenal. I like the guy a lot. He's got a good attitude, and he knows what he's doing. So those two things put together, I think the HumanWare, whatever they're going to call it, the Victor Reader, Trekker Breeze combo unit, whatever name they're going to give it, and I think they have given it a working name, but we'll have to check and see. Like I said, I'm meeting with those guys this weekend, or this week. There will be a new product coming from HumanWare. They've got a prototype out there, and I'm giving you all this info because it's already publicly available. I've seen it all over Twitter, so I'm not breaking any kind of stuff. I know Greg has done some podcasts and stuff with it. So there you go. So that's a little bit of what you should expect to see. Obviously, there's going to be resolutions. I saw some really good resolutions at the ACB convention, and I'm going to post a link to the ACB and the NFB resolution stuff that they put through. ACB, again, some really good resolutions. I think NFB is going to do the same. Hopefully they won't be rude to Apple this year. And I really took what they did last year with their resolution as just rudeness. I was very vocal about it on social media and stuff like that. I think it was very rude. They passed the resolution. It didn't really seem to go anywhere anyway, even though they passed it. But it got publicity and it was being talked about, and it wasn't very, very positive. If you were an NFB higher up person, then you talked about how great the resolution was, and the resolution was basically that, you know, all apps should be made to be accessible, and that Apple should basically push for all apps in the App Store to be accessible. I get it. But, you know, it was almost like a negative kind of, I took it negatively the way that it was written, and I'm not doing it any justice right now, but the way that it was written, I took it very negatively. I thought Apple was being beat up. I thought Apple was being beat up because they weren't a sponsor of the convention. I think there was a lot behind why Apple was being beat up. At the end of the day, absolutely no mainstream company, none, has done as much for accessibility as Apple has done. And all the people that were talking about this resolution in a positive way, were most of them were doing so while using, you know, iOS devices and Apple branded devices like Macs and things like that. So I thought it was a little hypocritical. You don't beat up the company that really has come to the table on time and time again, on and on. They come to the table. They bring accessible software, firmware. The hardware is always really stable, and they've been really, really good to our community where other companies haven't. So to beat them up, I thought, was extremely unfair. Hopefully they won't be doing that this year. I need to sit down and look at what some of the resolutions are. I you know, with NFB, I go back and forth. You know, I agree with some of their philosophy. I disagree with some of their philosophy. And one of the things that I strongly disagree with is not whether or not they're right or wrong, but it's the way they go about doing stuff, you know? So I think sometimes they're a bit aggressive when they don't need to be as aggressive. And I think NFB needs to make some changes in how they put themselves out, you know, as an organization. I think there's a lot of bad taste in people's mouths around the field, you know, the blindness field, professionals that work in the blindness field. There's a lot of bad taste in people's mouths, and I think NFB has a responsibility to do what they can to try to correct that. And one of the ways to do it is by fixing the image that people have in their minds when they hear NFB. And that's going to be hard to do, because you need to do that. If you're the NFB, you need to do that, but you also need to maintain what you're doing as the NFB, because the NFB does some really good work. Whether you like them or you hate them, you cannot deny the fact that the NFB has done some very, very good work for our community. When you look at Newsline, when you look at the Free White Cane program, it goes on and on. Youth Slam, you know, their advocacy for Braille. You can't beat up the entire philosophy of the NFB, because a lot of it works and a lot of it doesn't. So we'll figure it out. I am here again. I've been at NFB conventions. I've been at ACB conventions. So, you know, I'm not a hater, but I'm a guy who's going to be very, very vocal when I see something that I disagree with. So, and that's just going to have to be what it is. So, anyway, thank you guys for listening. Thanks for checking out the podcast. Hope some of this information is really useful to you. As always, blindrehab.com is where it's at for everything related to our podcast, Facebook Live, and, of course, tons and tons of information that is available on that site, blindrehab.com. It is all free. Consider purchasing a t-shirt from us if you want to help out and you want to wear a nice-looking Braille t-shirt. We've got them available right on the main page of our website. So blindrehab.com, and we appreciate you guys for listening. We will talk to you again next week. Thanks.